Before we start getting into the specifics, maybe we can just chat for a little bit about dealing with the patient, the person who's confronting metastatic disease. George, you and your partner at IU, Kathy Miller, have written and talked a lot about how you set goals for patients in the metastatic setting. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. You know, when learned professors get up in front of audiences to talk about how they take care of patients, they tend to ignore what every clinician knows, which is with breast cancer patients, everything you do with the patient involves a series of negotiations between the physician and the patient. And one thing I always tell my patients, actually I stole this from Cliff Huddis at Memorial, is that whenever you have a doctor and a patient in the room, you have two experts in the room. You have an expert on the disease and you have an expert on the patient. And those two experts need to agree before you go forward. The patients, of course, come with different sets of expectations. They come with different histories, not just medical histories, but personal histories. They come with different goals. For some patients, depending on their age, the goal may be that they want to see their child graduate from high school. For some patients, it may be that they want to live out the rest of their life as comfortably as possible, in contradistinction to length of life being the most important thing. And I think certainly as part of the initial sit-down with the patient, one of the things you have to find out is, what does the patient want from you as a physician? What are her most important goals? What toxicities is she afraid of? Just 2 days ago when I was in clinic, I had a patient refuse what I thought was very straightforward and relatively low-intensity chemotherapy because of what had happened to her husband a couple of years before. So I think these are important parts of our interaction with the patient.
Eric, do you actually proactively bring up the issue of the question of curability or lack of curability in the metastatic setting? And how do you see the variation in how patients respond to this and how you respond to them?
I think you have to bring it up because clearly a lot of what we do is set expectations with people so that there are reasonable expectations. Even with that, and even with setting what I think are reasonable expectations, I think if one really stops and questions patients, most of the time their expectations are somewhat different from what ours are. And I'm always struck and humbled by the fact that in someone who I've been taking care of for a long time, where I think it's pretty clear that they're pretty close to the end of their life, that unless there's a very explicit conversation, they're not quite as far along as I think they are in terms of their understanding of where things are. So I think that talking about this from the beginning is important. In truth, it's something I talk about when I talk about adjuvant therapy. I make the point that if breast cancer recurs, it is generally, with the treatment we have available in 2006, incurable. Although I also make the point at that point in time that it's a disease that many women can live with for an extended period of time. Of course, with these two patients, and I know we're not getting into the specifics yet, but I guess I'm a little more hopeful that the second one, who's had a relatively long disease-free interval in spite of the disease in her liver, is going to be around for quite some time.